Well, hello there, football fans. It's been a while. A couple of weeks, anyway. Welcome to the Soccer Central podcast. I'm James Sharman, joined once again by Thomas Dobby and Brendan Dunlop. Hello, boys.
All right. How you doing? It's been a long time.
The last time I was in here with you guys, you gave me your missus's album.
Oh, yes.
Elena Watko.
Mm-hmm.
And I listened to it.
Yeah.
And it's pretty good.
Oh, boy. Look at that.
What
ring
ruins
endorsement.
It for me is this way. It's a love album, right? A lot of love songs.
Oh, God.
And whenever I hear the songs, all I can think of is Dunlop. It's true. It kind of ruins them for me.
Yeah, I guess
they're
so.
Really nice
Dunlop's
songs.
In your
but,
head.
You know, she's, you know, singing Sweet Nothings, and I'm thinking, oh, God, was this written with Dunlop in mind, or was it before? Hopefully Dunlop.
So you're picturing naked Dunlop or just Dunlop?
Oh, my God.
There was
Tony
some nudity.
Poulos over there.
There was some nudity.
Yeah.
All right.
No, but it's good.
Well,
though.
If you're still listening.
It's a lot of hair in that scenario, I'm sure.
There's one, what's one
Don't
song
hate,
called,
bro.
One song's called This Song's Not About You.
Yeah.
I think it was about you.
You do? I don't think it was.
Yeah. No?
I don't think it was. No.
No. All right. Anyway,
so that's supposed to be about generic X that thinks the song would be about them.
A generic X?
Mm-hmm.
Or a specific X?
I'm not sure, actually. I just let that be. Leave that to the artist.
Elena Watko. Check it out. It's pretty good. And you'll ask yourselves the same questions we're asking. What is she doing with Dunlop? All right. Well, listen, let's refresh the table, shall we? As to what's happened since last we spoke, fellas. It's been a quite a shuffle at the top and the bottom. At the top, of course, Chelsea, they're still in first place. We know that. They're going to cruise 7 points up on Arsenal now. I'm pretty sure last Thursday we did, Arsenal was not second. United were not third, that's for sure. City were not fourth.
Definitely not. City were definitely second the whole way until just this past weekend, that's for sure.
So what's been the surprise for you? Has it been United's resurgence, Arsenal's continued path to greatness? Or a City's demise?
I think for me, it's definitely City. Because I think we've seen this from Arsenal plenty of times where, not to negate or take away at all from what they're doing, it's been a really nice run. But I feel like they always put together these runs towards the end of the season when the title is out of sight. And even the most diehard Arsenal fan would admit that it's out of sight now. Chelsea win their game in hand. It's 10 points, 7 games to go. It's not surprising. Man United, I mean, they've started to play a lot better of late. I think it might have been the last time we spoke, or maybe 3 weeks ago, when you said that they hadn't played a great game all season in the Premier League. I think that's changed now. I mean, their matches against Liverpool and Spurs were both probably back-to-back their best of the season. Doesn't shock me either. The way that Man City have kind of just fallen off the map and played really poorly for the last 6 weeks, 2 months in the league is pretty shocking, because they were the champions. And even when they were kind of following up back at Chelsea, when they came back just after Christmas and, you know, were tied at the top again, everyone thought, well, two horse race again, Man City's going to be there, and they're going to be nowhere close.
Yeah. City dropping points and losing matches to teams you least expect them to is
constantly.
It's
Burnley,
shocking.
Palace, they're going away, and they're not only not beating them, but They're not outplaying them. They're looking rattled.
How does this team get out of the group stage in the Champions League? A team that, you know, and we've always doubted that. Of course they shouldn't have. But, you know, they put on a pretty decent effort, not to their standards and certainly not to their payroll, but decent enough for the inexperience that they have in Europe. But come back to the Prem and, you know, see them just not get up, not get motivated for games. The fact that Pellegrini's still employed, I think, says a lot about where the team's head is. Which is good for him, because I think there's a lot of other clubs that would have been very quick to pull the trigger, because that writing's on the wall that it's just that. The team's not up. And who do you blame in that case? It's always the gaffer.
You get the impression that he will eventually be the scapegoat, but there's going to be a few scapegoats on that team. And it's going to be...
Yaya, one of them?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, I know Mancini at Inter Milan says, you know, it's very important we sign Yaya. And the talks are, what, £40 million? Like, sorry, he's not worth that anymore.
No, not at all.
He's been an absolute disgrace this year. He's been poor. I know he passes the ball a lot, and you look at his ratings on Opta, and they're not bad as far as successful passes and number. They're very sharp. He's not what he was. Last year, he was a game winner. Hasn't been that way. And he's one of the veterans and one of the leaders on that team, and he just hasn't shone at all. So I think it's time he leaves, and if Inter Milan want to gobble him up for £40 million, go right ahead.
Yeah, but I think this is a critical summer for Man City, because I think it's evident that they need an overhaul of some sort. But do they try to go for those huge money, short-term
they can't.
Try to
FFP
plug in guys.
FFP is not their friend right now.
Because if they don't, if they have to try to rebuild this, they have to be satisfied for a couple of years to maybe just do the finish top four and then try to get to that peak again, because they're not in a position right now where one or two little fixes is going to keep them relevant at the top of the table for the next couple of years. Mm-hmm. It's just not. And I think that Man United are kind of seeing that right now. And I think that their fans are going to have to be content with this season, you know, third or fourth, and then next season, maybe trying to fight for second or whatever. But Man City, it's not going to be a quick fix. It's really not. We've talked about it at length, and I hate to keep beating that drum, but where are those leaders? And when you take away Kompany and Yaya, who were those guys for a couple of years, and we can say that they're not going to be that and mm-hmm. already aren't that, where's the spine of that team?
And it's very hard to buy a leader.
Sure.
A guy can't just walk into a room.
Because those guys aren't
say,
available.
I'm now going to lead
because
this
they're
team.
Not available.
Right.
Because the best players are going to stay with their teams and lead and they're there for a long time.
And usually
just come
it's a
team.
Younger player will grow beneath sure. a real leader. Yeah. And when that guy mm-hmm. leaves, it's time for him to assume the role. You know, it's not a young team, is it? It's an old team. Let's look at some of the veterans on this team who are still considered stars. And would you keep them? Would you ditch them? In goal, I'd still keep Joe Hart.
He's
not the issue,
no.
right?
He's fine.
And you have Caballero, though, if you really want. Gael Clichy?
I think he's fine. I think I keep him.
He's under 30 right now as well, and he's pretty
I thought he had hit 30 already.
No, 29.
Yeah, you keep him.
Di Michaelis?
No.
See ya.
Shouldn't not have been there in the first place.
No, not good enough.
Kolarov?
He's a good squad player. I don't mind him rotating. I kind of like how they use him.
Some would say he should play more often.
I kind of like how they use him in Zabaleta, where they're good long-term players at that team. I don't think they're issues. I think that they can both work in the future of the squad.
Here's a tough one. Vincent Kompany.
It's very tough, but I agree with Dominic.
A year ago, he was one of the best center-backs in the world football. He was a great leader.
So was Nemanja Vidic. Man United cut ties with him, and look what's happened.
Too
him.
Late, actually. They cut ties too late. Vidic? I mean, I know he left after they won a championship, but yeah. We discussed how poor that season was. But I mean, he wasn't him and Rio probably stayed a bit longer.
Mm-hmm.
But still, it's you know, word to the wise if you're City looking at that situation. He's 28 though; he's not old. He seems to be an old 28, mind you.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think he's done. I think they need a brand new center back pairing. Actually, I don't know if Mangala is going to be an answer there, but for the money they spent, they certainly
you got to try
so.
It. You got to experiment
but,
with him.
What I've seen of him, I'm not a huge fan.
Who are you going to pair next to him? Maybe the kid at Valencia that everyone's all excited about, Gaia.
Yeah, possibly, because I mean there aren't any people available who are world class center backs. Mm-hmm. There aren't many world class center backs available at all.
Mm-hmm. But also,
you know, probably 9-10 world-class centre-backs right now.
And thinking about their price point, well, would you really be surprised if they were in the hot rumour for PK?
No, but they can't afford these guys.
What
right?
about,
FFP, they're being crushed by FFP. They've got to sell first, right? And I still think Yaya and Kompany, for their faults, if they sell them, will bring in a good return.
I think so
I know
as
they
well.
Haven't been in on him, but it seems likely that Mats Hummels is coming to England. It seems to be Chelsea and United kind of fighting
He'll be the
for
one,
him.
Yeah.
But
yeah. I think I might keep Kompany, actually. I think he's having a real off year. He needs a summer off, although they're coming to Toronto in an end of May at BMO Field.
Which means they're just going to go clubbing and enjoy the sights of the city. Basically. That's what you do in a postseason friendly.
If one guy needs a summer off, it's Vincent Kompany.
Lovely scenery.
Bakary Sagna?
I'd let him go. He hasn't played enough of a role, and he's you know, he was kind of... He came there to collect a paycheck and win what he thought would be win titles.
James Milner.
And he did. I think that this is your leader. This is the leader that you've forgotten about. The problem is he's on $85,000 a week and doesn't feel like he needs to get up in the face of other guys like Yaya and that. But I really think that he's the one that they've forgotten about and wrongly buried.
Yeah, I think he's been one of their best players this year. And I mean, I think that might speak to a lot of the failings of other players. But one of those guys where, you know, he always was kind of put down and people just thought he wasn't a great player. Kind of similar career
English.
Arc right now to Jordan Henderson, where
yeah,
he was
yeah.
in the England team. Oh, he's not good enough. He's crap. He's garbage whipping boy. And you look at the consistency that those players have now put together over 2 or 3 years, and you got to applaud James Milner. He's been a very good player, and I think that he deserves to have a chance to continue to be a key player on that team.
Also, you talk about bringing in leaders, how difficult that is to bring into a squad and have everyone take to him. There's a guy that's there. There's a guy that I honestly think much of the room would respect
yeah.
if you gave him that role.
I mean, I don't know if he's a leader. He might well be. I don't know. He seems a pretty quiet guy. But
Martin O'Neill didn't want to let him go.
Said no, he didn't.
This was the future.
Again, he maybe should have stayed there. Well, You know, he was playing in the positions he wants to play there.
Yeah.
He was arguably the best player. Different era, of course, at Villa. It's a long time ago now, my God. But the rumors about him going to, well, Liverpool this summer, actually, Milner. About Samir Nasri, he's 27. I would kick that guy as far as I possibly could out of this team. That is one you cannot rely on.
Yeah, let him go to Inter and suit up alongside the schleppies that they got there. I think that that would be a good spot for him.
Yeah, I mean,
he's a cancer.
He's what he provides on the field isn't enough to, you know, offset A, the money that he makes, and B, you know, what he brings.
Provides.
I don't think his teammates love him all that much, and he is a me-first player. We've seen that with the whole France debacle over the last couple of seasons as well. I think he can be
gone. Remember he got subbed off? Which game was that recently? I guess, was it against Liverpool? It's a huge game. Or was it against Chelsea? Maybe against Chelsea, he was subbed off at halftime. He was on the brink of a red card. Should have been sent off, actually, in the first half. He was losing the plot. Not the kind of guy I want in a big game. Jesus Navas. Don't know. He's not given a chance. I
haven't seen enough of him.
Been a real fringe player since he's been there. Yeah. But you know what? I've been disappointed with him when he has played.
Me too.
For what he was supposed to provide. You remember him coming over the same season as...
Negredo.
And both of them were expected to be real spark plugs. And neither of them's really worked out. Obviously, Negredo gone back to Spain. And with Navas, I mean, as a wing player, he's got the things that you'd like in a wing player. He can beat a guy at pace, but his crossing is just miserable. I mean, the amount of times that he's in a good position and sends a cross and it's right at the first defender or overhit. I mean, for a player of that stature and that, you know, supposed ability, it's not good enough most of the time.
Fernandinho. At least one of them should go, right?
Who's who? I can't even tell the difference.
Exactly the same player.
Fernandinho is the better player, but Fernando...
A couple of years younger, Fernando.
Yeah, and Fernandinho's been there an extra season as well.
Hold on, little Fernando is older than regular Fernando?
Yeah.
Fernandinho?
That makes no sense.
They're both bald.
We did not plan this Man City chat, by the way.
No,
this just kind of came.
This is what the beauty of this podcast.
Sure.
Yeah, see where we end up.
We don't do
pre-show meetings. Silva's been great. He stays.
Sure.
Yaya's gone. We discussed that. At least I think it's gone. You agree he's gone?
Yeah.
Should be gone?
Should be.
Yeah.
Sergio Aguero's been great when he's played, when he's healthy, of course. They brought in Boney. He'll be there, of course. Xhaka will be gone.
Mm-hmm.
It's time Xhaka moves on.
It's time, probably.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
So there's a good... There's a handful
so there's
of,
about
of
eight
really player, good players
I think
there.
About eight players we're saying that like are going to build, you know, you can keep and build your squad, but for a team that wants to compete for Premier League titles and be a presence in Europe, you need a rotation of about 16, 17 world-class players that are playing regularly.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Well, you know what surprises me is we're in year seven, approaching year eight of money, okay? And the family made it clear, the Abu Dhabi United Group made it clear that they were going to develop the academy. They've built a beautiful academy. If I'm not mistaken, it's already up. When is this going to start?
I wrote about
in.
This on my column for tomorrow, exactly the
oh,
same
did
thing.
You?
Like, where are these homegrown products?
Yeah.
You know, Patrick Vieira is doing this great job, apparently, in the academy. Some really good youngsters. Who's going to get a chance in that philosophy?
Yeah. Sure.
Like, most clubs, you can look around the league, you can pick out two or three players in the last year or so. Oh, that guy gets a game every now and again. Or that guy's a key player.
Mm-hmm.
Look at City. Who are these guys?
You know what?
There's none of them. There's none.
There's no youngsters that you would know about.
I'm looking for their names here. Some guy. Yeah, I mean, like, Brissant, Cicelina, George Glendon. Like, you know, these are teenagers through the academy, haven't played a game yet. Jose Podso, he's played one so far today, this season. Diedrich Beata's played one. There's no one here.
Diedrich Beata's still a youth?
Still
isn't
there.
He like 30?
He might be. And he's 24 now.
For ages.
Oh, boy.
But that's incredible, isn't it?
Ask you guys this question, because I just thought of it when Punter was kind of saying it's been, you know, this minute, 8 years of money or whatnot. If you were to ask the ownership group who bought this team right now, has this team been a success since this has happened? What do you think? Do you think it has been successful? Has it lived up to the expectations? Has it been surpassed expectations or been far below?
I think for most fans, it has been. They've won two championships.
They've won two championships, an FA Cup and a League Cup.
If you ask a City fan who's a real City fan, not a plastic fan,
yeah,
and you tell them 10 years ago what they've done, they'd be, oh, wow, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Ownership, I think it's been a failure.
Yeah.
I think they thought they'd be up there at Barcelona dominating Europe by now.
Yeah.
I really think
that. I think that's the one thing, and it's obvious, but just the Champions League failings, I think, are what kind of stick out. Because I think domestically, it's been about as good as you could expect.
Yep.
You're not going to come in and, regardless of the money you spend, you're not going to come in and win the league for eight straight years. I mean, the Man United kind of 2000s there was a bit of an anomaly. That just doesn't happen that often.
Yeah. I think ownership thought they would, though.
Yeah.
I think ownership were naive. They thought it was a lot easier to win championships and become Barcelona than it was. They thought, let's throw some money at it and we'll be successful. But they've now learned the hard way that it's Champions League's a very, very tough tournament to win.
That's exactly what they thought. That's why they gave old Thaxton the money to get Robinho before they even got the
got the
paper.
That was
Thaxton,
the one.
Thaxton should watch
30 mil on Robinho.
Boy, they're still drinking Sing Ha at the Etihad.
That's a Mark Hughes era.
Tiger.
Mark Hughes got screwed. Stuart Pearce got screwed there.
Oh boy,
Sven came.
Oh my lord!
I think Sven was before that.
Was he before?
Well, Sven was.
He was during
Thaxton. Let him go.
Yeah.
But then Thaxton hired Hughes,
I think. He replaced Sven?
Yeah.
And then Pierce replaced Hughes mid-season?
Oh, boy, I don't remember. Pierce was with England at that time, wasn't he? England. Under 21? If only we had a Google machine.
Did you use it?
Hang on. Clatter.
Let me answer Dobby's question while you look that up. Would the owner see it as a success?
Pierce is back in 2001.
Yeah, it was Keegan.
What
Pierce.
Year are you living
of course, Keegan.
In?
Were
they down in the championship then?
No, Pierce was 05 to 07. So it was Keegan, then Pierce, then Sven, then Hughes.
Darius Vassell leading the line.
Boy. Darius Vassell, good goal scorer.
Throwback. Yeah, he was.
Well, I can't believe Pierce was there 13 years ago.
No, it was 05 to 07.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Pierce?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh,
sorry. Yeah, looking
I'm looking at
Pierce?
His senior playing career. That's
oh,
why.
Oh,
again, the brain's not working too well.
No.
You stop drinking before you come in.
I've got to start drinking before I come in. That's a problem, I think.
Would be.
Stuart Pearce. Anyway, that's probably enough seed talk, isn't it?
Probably.
Probably enough seed talk.
37 minutes of seed talk.
Well, they've got
talk.
A big game this weekend against United.
Sure.
They won five straight games, who are looking as we thought they would. I think most of us did say, just give Van Gaal some time. He's going to figure it out. It's going to be a rocky road getting there. But here they are, and they're not firing on all cylinders, but Fellaini's playing great. Herrera's playing how he should do.
How much do you think fans of United, City, and Arsenal care about where they finish second, third, or fourth? Is it a big thing? Because we always just talk about title and then top four. It's almost kind of just going to be like forgotten, almost second, third, or you know what I mean?
I think
it's forgotten, but
I think the team that finishes second can kind of hold that. But it kind of is a little irrelevant, isn't it?
I think. Amongst the fans, though, like I'm talking the hardcore fans, the ticket holders, the commuters, if you're going to the office every day and, you know, the guy sitting across from me is an Arsenal fan, it's nice to have that leg up that you finish second. But that's all it is.
You know, as a Liverpool fan who finished second last year, honestly, to me, it wasn't a relevance. We blew the lead.
Yeah.
We didn't win it.
But that's
top four was great.
Happened.
I'm happy with top four. But two or three. I mean, fourth, you've still got to qualify, right?
Yeah, that's true.
It's a bit of a stretch. Third or second, who cares? And when you're one of these clubs, it's all about the glory, about the trophies.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It's not about, oh, we had a good season. Here's your participation award. Shut up. It's about winning trophies. Anyone allowing Arsene Wenger to grow in their appreciation?
You know what? I just wrote, I think, on Monday, how I'm astonished at how they've come together since that first leg loss to Monaco. And not only played so much better, but they honestly look like they've grown, and as to see them improve like that, and as composed as they now play, and defensively competent as they are post Monaco, you know, it's a hat tip to the boss in any case, but it's a hat tip to the squad as well. The squad that, you know, we've ripped many times in the show, said there was no leaders about, and said there was, you know, a bunch of misfits, and I still think that they're not, you know, full of championship winning players. But you look at the way Hector Bellerin is playing and Francis Coquelin.
Francis being the one that stood out to me.
Sure.
He's been just what they've needed.
Two players that you never would have expected much from at all, let alone what you're getting. And now they look like a team that, you know, might contend for the title next year.
Yeah.
But
heard that before.
Heard that before. And I mean, I give credit to Wenger, because every time kind of the media and the public, whoever questions them, and, you know, us being part of that, they do seem to go on this run. But it's putting it together for a full 38-game season. I think at Arsenal, last year, it was that great start, and then after February, they fell off. This year, poor start. Since the beginning of March, they've been fantastic. But the table doesn't lie after 38 games.
Yeah.
And you have to deliver week in, week out, and you can't just pick your spots and have a good month here and a good month there. Chelsea had one dip for a couple weeks this season, and yes, they haven't been playing great stuff, but it's not even close to who's been the best team in England this year. It's been Chelsea. Yeah, could Arsenal maybe lay claim overall to being the second best team? Maybe, and they might finish second.
Arsenal also suffered a hell of a lot of injuries.
Sure.
And you do wonder if they were healthy throughout the season, but the guys that got hurt seem to always be hurt. Mm-hmm. So again, that's, you know, you're dancing with the devil there by signing these guys, relying on a Theo Walcott and a Jack Wilshere. They're going to get hurt.
Well, if Van Persie goes back next year, they'll be
he's
fine.
He's going somewhere, isn't he? He's not staying at United. Giroud's been brilliant, mm-hmm. right? And I mean, you consider how many games he missed. He missed like almost 3 months mm-hmm. to start the season, right? He's been superb. So it's not difficult being an Arsenal fan, but it's got to be frustrating because you just every year you think, man, if only we stayed healthy. If only we put together 38 games and not 28 games, we'll be winning this thing right now.
Yeah, it is difficult being an Arsenal fan if you're not rich.
That's why they're so thin-skinned, I suppose. Hateful.
But at the end of the day, I mean, you look at last season, they finished fourth and won the FA Cup. This year, they could finish second and win the FA Cup. I guess it would be an improvement and then maybe something to build on for next year. But again, it's about putting together an entire season. And I just don't know if this team has that in them yet to do it. But maybe in a couple seasons, they continue to build and they'll get there.
We're just dismissing a title challenge here, right? We're saying Chelsea are going to cruise, right? 7 points. There's still 24 points at stake. Or 21 for most of those teams.
24
right?
for Chelsea. Yeah.
Chelsea haven't got Diego Costa. Could be out for a while now. Fabregas isn't the same player he was for whatever reason.
To start the season.
Yeah. As he always fades, right?
It's been crazy.
But I mean, they've got some issues there. Only because it's Jose Mourinho, I'm saying they're not going to blow this. But I mean, that's not an insurmountable target, is it? I mean, Chelsea, and look at their final. You got their schedule there, Tom?
I do, actually. Okay. I was just looking at it. I mean, that's the thing about the teams that are chasing them. They can have some hope that Man United and Arsenal both play Chelsea, right? Man United play City and Chelsea back-to-back. If Man United somehow come up with wins in both of those, okay. But let's be realistic here. Chelsea currently are on how many points?
70.
So if they win, they've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 games. At QPR, home to Man United, at Arsenal, at Leicester, home to Palace, home to Liverpool, at West Brom, home to Sunderland. 8 games. Say you win 5 of those, draw 1, lose 2. That's 16 points. That's 86 points. That's insurmountable.
That'll be
enough. I mean, yeah, there's tough tests in there, but Chelsea just don't lose those big games often.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they're going to lose back-to-back weeks to Man United and Arsenal.
Only because Jose Mourinho is coaching that team.
Sure.
Maybe any other manager in the world, you might say, well, there's a chance here. But he's not going to allow that team. He will. I mean, he's been killing games off for a while now, hasn't he? You know, I haven't seen Chelsea playing great football for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Been getting points, been getting enough to move on through there.
You look at how impactful Diego Costa has been in his first season. But with him not there, who's in his place? Loic Remy's a pretty good substitute. Oh, look at Loic Remy's got the best goal scoring rate in England right now. For his minutes on the pitch. Two goals in 4 minutes.
17 minutes.
Yeah.
He hardly plays, right? Yeah, I know. We'll see. I have Chelsea cruising to the title, but hopefully there'll be some intrigue there. Liverpool sitting fourth, battling for Europa League football now. Beat Blackburn in the cup. Villa in the semi-final there, B.
Yeah. We think we can get the bosses to send us over for a rivalry documentary.
I don't see why not.
Yeah.
I think we'll just amble over there, do a couple of reports, live satellite.
I'm going to write out the pitch to the bosses right now. Liverpool, Manchester United, cracking hockey match at Wembley
Bang
Arena.
Off somebody first in the morning and read the paper.
Read the paper.
The back pages.
And, good segments.
In the back seat of a cab with the camera on the floor.
Yeah. No, that was fun. Yeah. That was awesome.
James.
Oi.
Sit up straight, James.
I might be going over at the end of May, so.
Yeah.
Well, April 19th. Geez, that's cool. Wow, that's 10 days away only, the semifinal.
Quick. Yeah.
So the bosses are not going to let us go.
I don't think you're going to quite be able to. It's next weekend.
Yeah.
Good luck. Good luck with that, fellas.
I think Raheem Sterling signed a deal by then.
Oh, boy. Isn't that
what
a
mess? Real Madrid? I don't know. Isn't that tampering?
He's got 2.5 years in his deal still.
As a Liverpool fan, how frustrated are you by all this?
I am horribly, but not just with him. I'm with him, his agent, and with the club, right? Mm-hmm. This has gone public, and Liverpool are leaking it left, right, and center as well. We know they are. He did a really ill-advised BBC interview where he made a fool of himself. Listen, what Rodgers says is true, though. The best place for him and his development is Liverpool right now.
Mm-hmm.
It is. You know, he's playing every game. He's the best player. Mm-hmm. He's playing in big games. He says it's about the money. Sorry, the trophy's not the money. Like, shut up. No, it's not. It's about the money. You finished second last year. You're in the FA Cup semifinals. You could be getting trophies. This is the best place for you. In 4 years' time, you want to move? Sure, go right ahead. Mm-hmm. But this is, to me, got Sean Wright Phillips all over it.
Yeah, it's scary.
At this very point dangerous. In his career, but
he was exactly the same player.
But at the same time, you know, it's hard to talk about this without being in that situation. Because if I was 20 years old and I was being lured to go play at Madrid for £100,000 a week and, you know, the glamour and the glitz
of
doing
that. You'll get that at Anfield, though, as well. You'll get more than that at Anfield.
Well, not the glitz and the glamour of playing at Real Madrid. And, you know, maybe this is the time where he's, like, young in my career and I can go, you know, take advantage of it. And
take risks.
If he thinks he's going to jump in there ahead of Gareth Bale or James Rodriguez.
But these guys
Cristiano Ronaldo, but he's not. He's going to sit on the bench. He's not that good a player. He's a very good player.
I agree with you, but just...
He needs better advice. I understand.
Of course.
It's money. You know, if Man City offer him £250,000 a week, I get that to a certain point. I think you must show some loyalty, but if they're going to pay £100,000 more than Liverpool, I kind of understand why he'll be swayed, obviously.
I don't think Raheem Sterling is the smartest guy out there, the best decision maker.
He's like most young footballers.
He's got a bit of a spotty past as well. I mean, it's tough to say. We don't know the kind of inner workings of this guy's mind, but...
Do we know how many kids he has yet?
It's just one, apparently. That's
a bit
of a
myth. You've said. Yeah. You're the only source for that.
No, I heard... a Liverpool beat writer on some radio show.
Someone
talking
from
about
the Echo.
He actually called up the club one day and said, listen, can I get this straight? How many kids has he got? And the PR guy goes, honestly, we're not quite sure, but we're pretty sure it's one.
Amazing.
It's irrelevant how many kids he has anyway. I mean, maybe he needs the money for, you know, support.
You got to, you know, I know what you mean. And Dobby put up, made a really good point. We haven't been in that situation. But doesn't he have some perspective in the sense of, less than 3 years ago, he was in the first team on $2,000 a week, right? Wanting more, wanting a stake in a place. He's been to a World Cup. He's been capped. He's only on the incline as far as his career is concerned. And he's making mistakes left, right, and center that at Real Madrid or somewhere which is not home, you would not be allowed to do.
He was given a vacation by the club this winter. He was sent off to Jamaica for a week off.
Exhaustion.
Yeah. They're treating him pretty well.
Very well.
So we can talk about the naive. You're bang on though, B. Yeah. But you can talk about the naive kid. But he's 20. He has got a brain in his head. Maybe it's a small brain. I don't know. But he's got a brain. And there is that loyalty factor to me. There really is. He has to realize that this might be the best opportunity. And maybe with my current progression, in 3 years' time, I'm worth even more money.
Yeah.
I get a bigger deal. Sure. More options.
But it's tough to think like that, right? In this day and age, you want to cash in when you can. There was a really good, actually, question tweet. We should probably get to some of them since people did them all about this subject. And I think that it was kind of, it asked about Sterling. You might want to find the word.
We're not talking about college basketball players who go for 1 year to be a one and done because they're not making any money.
I know what you mean.
You know,
he's had
a taste of what it's like to be a pro footballer. And sure, he's not making enough, but he's also 20 at a squad that just got back to Europe.
I don't disagree with what you guys are saying at all. I think the best thing for him would be to stay at Liverpool, show the loyalty you've got in there. I'm just playing devil's advocate here. We're saying, of course, that's going to be tempting in your mind, and I think that any of the three of us in that situation would definitely consider that option as well, and it would be tempting.
Is White Man Can't Jump a great one, actually? He says about, you know, our take on Raheem Sterling. Is it all about the money, or are people sensitive to the fact that Liverpool aren't a big club?
That's what it was, and I feel like, you know, you're a little biased in there, because there is that feeling of Liverpool fans, and rightly so, that sentiment, like, we are a big club, this and that. But when you look at it in the grand scheme, if a person has ambitions to play in the Champions League, Liverpool aren't going to be there again next year.
They're a huge club, but they're not what I call a super club.
They're not.
They're not the cities.
They're not.
Chelsea's, the Man United's, unfortunately.
They're behind those big four in England now. They're kind of fifth. And last year, I think, was a mirage, and people maybe got sucked into that. We're thinking they don't have the talent pool and the spending power right now to compete with those other four teams.
Because
they don't.
Super clubs, the ones that are always in the top four of every league or top three of every league, what is the one similarity in most cases, right? They buy their success.
And where these big teams have the ability to continually, and I don't want to say Liverpool is not a big team, they are, great history, But where the Man City's, the Chelsea's, even the Man United's, Arsenal now showing that when people leave, they have the ability to replace them. Arsenal now have made themselves that player with spending that money on Ozil and Sanchez.
Yep.
And say what you will about the effectiveness of a guy like Ozil, but it's all about having, for lack of a better term, that big ball mentality where look, the guy, we can sign him and trot him out. Liverpool lost their best player by miles and didn't replace him. And they tried to replace him with a combination of Adam Lallana, Dejan Lovren, Emre Can, and Origi, for Christ's sake.
They tried to replace him with Alexis Sanchez.
Sure.
For Arsenal, which is basically a super club nowadays.
And outbid them.
And promised Sanchez continued
Champions
League
football. And Man
United
are having a down year, and they bring in Di Maria for 63. Like, it's just, there's not that same playing field. Liverpool aren't doing that. And that's where you look at it, and it's like, Liverpool, what do you have?
What happens to their mentality where, okay, you know what? They may not be a perennial top 14, but you know
sorry,
what?
James, Raheem Sterling. Gone. Raheem Sterling has no loyalty to Liverpool.
Right.
He doesn't care.
But what happened to the players? Okay, well, maybe part of the problem is my fault, maybe, that I should play harder and play better for my team and lift them to the promised land. What happened to that mentality in sports?
I don't think it exists
anymore. Where the star
anymore.
Player says, had a bad year. I want success and trophies. I'm leaving. It used to be, damn it, I'm going to try harder next year.
I don't think it exists anymore.
No,
it sucks.
An awful, awful thing
but
to
say.
But
that's been gone for a while now. I don't think it's a new thing.
Honestly.
No, it's I know.
Ray Hudson has
that's my head.
The fans are the people that care the most. I mean, the players don't give a shit.
Ray Hudson has a line. I don't know if you've seen it's a promo for the coverage of the network in which he works for. And he's just talking about football in general and what it's like to love a team and how, you know, he's like players, he's like, most of them are just mercenaries. They don't care about the club as much as you and I do, and they never will. But you and I do, and that's the point. What my point was in mentioning that now, I completely forget.
No, but that's the point, though. but that's why people love Francesco Totti and Steven Gerrard and John Terry.
Sure, but here's a great example of why I don't blame the players per se in it, because you look at Gerrard and Lampard, and those are guys that wanted to stay at their clubs, and the club was kind of like, no, we're done with you. And I don't mind the ambition of those guys at the end of the career to still want to play and to go to MLS and be a star and continue to keep that brand power. And it's kind of like that toss-up. It's like, if the club's not going to care about the player, then why should the player care about the club?
There is no doubt that when we talk about loyalty and the players not being loyal, it does go both ways. You're right.
It does.
Clubs are ruthless as well. Now, in Gerrard's case and Lampard's case, there comes a point where for the club's well-being going forward, those players have to leave. And they're so entrenched, they're not going to leave on their own volition. They need to be pushed.
Yeah.
It's ruthless, but they've given them 20 years of employment by that point.
It's time for both of them to have left.
I feel like the soccer world is just kind of a microcosm of the world in general, where it's like, literally, what have you done for me lately? And you better deliver now. And I think that it goes for teams, it goes for players, it goes for fans. We live so in the here and now, there isn't loyalty in it at all. There's no... I think that fans feel that there should be, but players don't care. And for that matter, managers certainly don't care about the players and the history of the club, even 15, 20 years ago.
No,
the fans
remember
it because they followed. Those players don't care.
At the same
time,
you know, that's when it's difficult for the fans to hold the current players accountable for the last 10 years of terrible soccer or terrible hockey or terrible baseball, right? You know, you're hammering a player because, well, we sucked for the last 15 years. Well, it's not this current player's fault. You know, just judge them for what they're doing right now. For some reason, I'm just seeing this big blue maple leaf in front of my eyes right now.
Yeah, you know what? I just thought of that too. It's funny.
So the last thing I want to say about Sterling is there's some really prominent examples recently of guys who were really good young as young players coming up and just before they hit their stride, left too early. To go to big clubs, and it's ruined him. In the case of Nuri Sahin, look at him. You can even argue that Shinji Kagawa is going to be nowhere near the star that he was projected to be, having left so early. Even goes so far to say Javier Pastore, who's been good for PSG, but I don't think anywhere near the level that they expected.
And we expected, having watched him
in the Serie A, from Palermo, and it was it's for the money and the opportunity, but. There should have been. You know, Serge Aurier, everyone was talking about him at the World Cup. Have you seen him this year? Not at all. Completely buried. So Sterling should recognize because he hasn't had a great year.
I saw a report. I think France Football said that they had a little poll amongst their players. And the second most overrated player was Divock Origi. Right? At Lille, who Liverpool signed for great expense in the summertime.
Boy,
right?
17 million
great
bucks,
World Cup,
I think it was.
World Cup, second most overrated player in French Ligue 1. Let's hit some more tweets, shall we? Here's a good one, actually. Nicholas Cabal, you're dying, We're all dying, Nicholas. Which player do you choose to protect your wife and kids and roommate, and which manager? I think we discussed before that Diego Simeone would be the kind of guy I'd like to back me up, right?
Yeah, Simeone, Diego Simeone probably.
Yeah, he'd probably be the manager,
guy.
But as for the player, it could be Diego Costa. I think he could go, I think if he saw his best mate and his wife and kids, you know, being threatened, he'd go ballistic. He's got that look in his, he'd go like feet first, he'd bite, he'd scratch. He's a big boy anyway. It could be Costa.
Huh. That's a very good question. I should have read these.
I mean, speaking of probably Suarez with the biting, right? He would just...
Yeah, but he's a bit of a
But yeah, you wouldn't.
Didn't swear.
Trust him to protect.
Yeah. We've been warned not to swear.
I know. I said the S word earlier. Oops.
Did you?
Yeah.
No, we have been long ago. Given the old heads up, best not to swear.
Yeah. So, you know what? I got the coach because who would want to mess with Jorge Jesus? You know?
Oh yes.
He's even put police in headlocks to protect fans.
If we get Thomas Rongan, maybe that'd be even better.
Yeah, Rongan's a coach.
Hey, they won their first game.
Tampa Bay Rowdies.
Yep. Tampa Bay won last weekend.
Neither of you guys replied to my email, by the way, road trip.
I'm still trying to figure it out.
You know why? Because TFC's opener's on the Sunday.
Yeah.
And I just don't know what I'm doing work wise around it. I have no clue.
Rubbish. Well, you can come back Sunday morning.
I know, but maybe I'm doing I don't know. It's a home opener, right?
Yeah, I'm still trying to work it out.
If I'm doing nothing, there's a good chance I won't.
It's also Mother's Day.
You can love her every other day of the year.
It's a Sunday's Mother's Day.
Yeah.
Did you pick a player? I haven't picked a player yet.
No, I didn't.
Peter Crouch could keep them at a distance.
Yeah, that's a good call.
Right.
That's a good call. I think Francesco Totti would probably.
He's a hard man right now.
Joey Barton, but he's not really a hard man, is he? He's just a mouthy little...
The Joey Barton hat trick. I coined the term last week. Did you see? He got booked, got a man sent off, and scored a goal.
Mulumbu nailed him, eh? He played actually really well, didn't he, Barton? He's a good player, Barton.
He's played well. And to think where he was a couple years ago with Marseille, putting on fake accents, and have worked himself back into that squad.
He's probably he is the most interesting footballer in the world.
Yeah.
He's one guy, if I could pick any footballer to have a chat with, interview, sit down, it might be Joey. Well, it would be Joey Barton.
Really?
Yep. Just
Ballo for me.
By the way, did you see Ballo and his thermometer?
Yeah.
Picture?
I didn't.
So he missed his last game. He said he was too ill, too sick. And Brendan Rodgers, in a very thinly veiled comment post-match, said the medical staff were okay with him, but he decided that he was unable to play.
This is Wednesday's match against Blackburn.
Yeah, that's right. So he, like his Instagram, was it?
Yeah.
A picture of holding up a thermometer saying 38.6 to prove that he was too sick to play.
Yeah.
It's gone so horribly wrong. We did see it happening. I understand why Rodgers was lured and maybe thought that perhaps this might work out.
I thought it was
a
good signing.
Yeah, I thought it was worth the risk.
Yeah.
And worth the risk. It was a risk. It hasn't paid off. He'll be gone in the summertime. Oh, what an utter scumbag.
We all said that
it's never
going
to happen for him.
So immature.
You know, we all sat here and thought this might be the biggest bargain in Premier League history.
He could be the dumbest footballer in the world. Don't you think?
Crazy. Did you see
his history?
The best part about that picture was the responses from the Liverpool fans. Oh, you're Pragers, mate. Congrats. They were amazing.
Yeah. So that was, God, I'm angry now. That really pissed me off. I mean, it really upset me. Great.
So I think a better question would be, who would you not trust to protect your wife and children?
Oof.
Ballo. There's a long list of guys you wouldn't trust. Yeah. It's harder to find someone you will. I've only got the boss. I haven't picked the player.
Who hides behind the teammates?
Wouldn't trust Ronaldo.
No chance.
Well, I wouldn't trust Messi.
He sent out another underwear picture today.
Oh, good.
Apparently, his new underwear, they're using some new material, softer.
Oh, okay.
Better ply, lighter.
Yeah.
Hopefully more breathable.
You want that on your man junk, I think.
You do. Here's one quickly. It lends into our final question. Dallas Jarvis, how long until Octavio Rivero is playing in Europe? He stays at least a full season, right?
Does he have 5-5?
He's 5-5 now. He's done fantastic.
Well, hold on.
Caps in general.
Although we should give some love to Montreal as well.
No, we're going to. This is part of the segue.
Right. Let him run the show.
Here.
Good. Okay.
But no, Vancouver we should give love to as well. They beat LA in the weekend 2-0, right? And we interviewed Mark Weber of the Vancouver Province week before. He was saying that despite the record, they're not playing great. But
they drew 2-2 last night.
Yes,
Columbus.
Sorry, that's right.
They were down 2-0. Yep. They came back 2-2.
It's just one loss against TFC, clearly the best team in the league. But you know what? We often see players doing really well on MLS, and they all want to get to Europe eventually. But often you see these players getting a trial and it not working out. You see it over and over again.
Yeah. time and time again.
I haven't seen enough of this guy to say whether he can make it in Europe. I have no clue.
Well, give it a, you know.
He'll stay the full season, though, for sure.
Give it a full, yeah, full season here because of the way the calendar works.
Making good money. Yeah.
It's because of the way the calendar works. He'll play the full season, and maybe, you know, if he finishes it great with 25 goals, and maybe he goes in January.
January trial, at least, yeah.
But I have a feeling we'll see him finish out the year, 20-plus goals, and then next year we're talking about him playing for Canada. How quick can we get him to paper? Like another guy that scored goals in Vancouver.
8 minutes into his career, I was worried for him. I missed that sitter against TFC right away.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, my God, nice start. And they scored 10 minutes later, and he hasn't stopped since. So.
Where's Eric Hasley right now?
Recuperating his back.
Eric Hasley scored the MLS goal of the year a few years ago.
Oh, boy. Was he playing for TFC for that goal?
Vancouver. Yeah.
Then he made the huge move to TFC, and that was going to get them into the playoffs.
Yes. All those TFC moves.
I gotta stop
like hate tweeting about TFC.
Go to MLS. Go to the player rosters.
Okay.
Right? Randomly.
Yeah.
Select one player from any team.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
Any team, any player.
Okay, I'm on the Houston Dynamo stats. I'm gonna go with Giles Barnes.
Played for TFC in 2007. Every single player at some point has played for TFC.
You know who I'm surprised hasn't played for TFC?
They're
last
hilarious.
Night, I actually
like,
asked myself.
That game in Chicago. They're actually hilarious. Like I think I said it on this pod, but definitely in a conversation. No matter what they do any offseason again this year, if you had a gun to my head and told me life or death, do TFC make the playoffs? I'm going to say no for eternity. I'm just going to say no because it just always seems to go off the rails. And I know it's four
got
games
a lot
in,
of injury
and they played on the road,
like,
and there's this and that, but just like comical the way they keep losing. Like they're hilarious.
2 months on
you
the road. Kai Kamara. I thought last night, I'm like, did Kai Kamara? No, I don't think I've ever talked about him before.
Yeah,
have I?
Sure have. Oh, yeah.
Well, maybe
in
the old incarnation.
Was he a guest on the Footy Show podcast? Hardcore Sports Radio, Sacker Show, whatever it's called.
I don't remember.
No?
The Hardcore Footy Show.
Yeah, that's
I'm going to pick another player
Kai
here.
Kamara. He never played
Clarence
here.
Clarence Goodson.
2009, trialed with the FC. Just trialed with them. Should have signed him. Good player. We should, as mentioned there, give Dobby's beloved Montreal Impact some love.
A crazy second.
Brilliant. He loves his Frank
Lopez. They lose to Alajuelense 4-2 this past week.
Alajuelense.
They qualify for the CONCACAF Champions League final against Club America, who rolled over Herediana.
Yeah.
6-0.
6-0 in the
second leg.
Down 3-0 for the first leg.
Yeah.
You know what? We've got an MLS team, a Canadian MLS team in the final.
First
They've
time
sold
ever.
Out 35,000 tickets already for that second leg. That's amazing.
I'd like
we going?
To go.
Me too. It's a Wednesday.
It'd be a fun party, wouldn't it?
Wednesday the 25th.
We can work it around the May 9th for Thomas Rongen celebration party.
2 weeks. Difference, unfortunately.
It's a fantastic story, though.
As long as we can get back Thursday for this podcast.
Because they're not a great team. And doing it without some of their injured players.
Sure. Or guys they had earlier in the Champions League campaign.
Is the first
like
leg
Marco
at home
Devaya?
Or the second leg? I forget.
Second leg's at home.
Second leg's at home on the 29th, then?
Yeah, 29th.
Yeah, 22nd, 29th. Yeah.
But for them to go to...
Hopefully they're in it for the second leg. That's the only...
For them to go to Azteca, though, it's going to be real tough.
It's not what it once used to be, though, Azteca. It's not quite the same.
Right, but you look at...
It's still very difficult, obviously.
You look at how the Costa Ricans struggled. Honestly, through the first 20 minutes, America threw everything, including the kitchen sink and bags of piss at them. Threw absolutely everything at them. And it was...
Urine.
Oh, boy.
It was... Urine.
That 3-0 deficit was erased in less than 20 minutes. And these guys look knackered by half an hour. So I think if I'm Frank Lopez, I'm running through some high altitude training. However you're capable of doing that, I have no idea because I run like a 400-pound man. But that's the only way that you're going to compete in that match.
Yeah, it's going to be difficult. But you know what? The result is irrelevant, really. They're there.
Just getting there?
They've got there. And we should celebrate it. And we will celebrate it.
Can they bring Devile back? He's already cup-tied.
Right. Yeah. There's a few players cup-tied, from the Impact, sir. 11 as well.
Would have been.
Yep. All right, listen, that was a relatively sensible podcast. It's pretty good.
I thought it was pretty damn good, yeah.
Hmm. Sorry to disappoint you, listeners.
I know, sorry. I will apologize again before we leave. Got to leave, though, because Panos is off to see Fawlty Towers.
Yes, the Fawlty Towers Dinner Theater Show.
Let me know how it goes, because I'm very curious how a non-John Cleese Basil Fawlty
Sony.
Oh, I can't wait.
At
the
Sony's
going for dinner first?
No, it's a dinner theater. So basically, if you've seen the sitcom set in the hotel... I imagine that it will be you're sitting in that.
I think the only dinner theater I've ever gone to is probably Medieval Times when I was about 12.
Yeah,
so just,
you have no culture.
That just shows
you know
my,
what? It's very much the same.
I work evenings, so I just, I don't have a social life.
Neither do I.
Not away, actually. I'm
yeah,
a kid,
oh, that's so. Good. Yeah,
although there's a Neil Diamond last Thursday, which is brilliant. And get this, I bought tickets for my parents Christmas, went there, cheap tickets because I'm a very cheap son.
Neil Diamond?
Up in the Gods, Neil Diamond, and the Usher.
Okay.
Knew me from Sportsnet.
Oh,
and
wow.
also played, I played with him for Manic. Apparently, years ago.
Was it Claudio?
Yes, wow, Claudio. That's right.
Where
great
was that
guy.
At the ACC?
ACC.
Oh,
so he pulled some strings,
got
me down 20 yards from Neil Diamond.
Oh,
too bad
boy.
My parents stayed up
fantastic.
On top.
Fantastic.
No, they didn't really. They came with me. But it was so Claudio, you thank
look
you
look
so
that.
Much, man.
You're welcome it for was, the connection.
Yeah, exactly.
He works at TFC. He works at the ACC as well.
Great guy. Yeah. Great guy. I was very happy about that because the original tickets were not good tickets.
Great.
Yeah, that's cool. Diamond great. Rocked. Coolest man on earth. You don't know who he is, do you, down there?
No, not at all.
All right, that's the podcast. Don't forget, this weekend on Sportsnet, a lot of football starting at 10 o'clock Eastern. I'll be in the chair because Dickie O's on TFC duty. Craig's there. Jerry's there. And check out sportsnet.ca for all the... so funny, Sportsnut.
Sportsnut. We're a Sportsnut.
We're Sportsnuts. Yes, we like football and
not sports and such.
All right.
Change the name of the stage.
Apologies for this not being as dumb as always.